This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Text line at 343-0106. And we'll open up phone lines later on in the hour. Right now, a band you've heard on the show with us quite a few times over the years, State Senator Cam Ward joining us to talk about, we'll talk prison reform because he knows he can't come on the show without talking about that. But also, big announcement today for you. And Cam, what was the announcement?
I'm running for place one on the Alabama Supreme Court in the March 3rd Republican primary. So looking forward to it. It's been something I've been thinking about for a while, and I think I can bring a perspective coming from the legislative branch of government to the judicial branch that we haven't had, and that is, you know, the legislature should write the laws, the court should interpret, but you shouldn't write laws from the court. So that's a big issue for me and just something I feel passionate about.
You're going to be in a proceeding there with other justices and say, be careful, you're acting like legislators now.
Yeah, as someone who's served the legislative branch of government, I can see exactly where we run into so many problems. That's when the courts start making the laws themselves.
Well, let's talk about the process for running this campaign now that you've got, because people will see Supreme Court and they go, okay, I remember we did a Chief Justice thing, and then I was voting for another Supreme. How many members of the Alabama Supreme Court?
Nine
members. So we got so each year, I mean, each cycle, it's a couple names coming up, right?
Yes. They stagger. It's like two or three every year.
Okay. So is there, and so place one, is place one a geographical thing, or is it just one of nine?
It's statewide. It's statewide, yes.
So you're campaigning for that, and at the same time, you know, you're going to have us asking you questions about your work here with the Senate Judiciary Committee, and of course, the prison committee here for the state. I mean, you've been doing that for, is it 5 years now?
No, I have been chairman of the Senate Judiciary for 9 years now. Actually, I'll start my 10th year coming up.
You know what I'm saying, on the prison task force.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been doing that since I was involved with the prison task force started back in 2013. So we've been doing that for a while too.
Wow. And I want to get back into both of those subjects here in just a little bit. But you and I were talking during the news break about this, and I was relating to you what I'd finished doing in the first segment of the show, this story from down here in Baldwin County, where we have a sex offender that was off the radar. That they busted on Thursday, and there's a lot of extenuating parts of that story and felon in possession and all that kind of stuff. But how do we let somebody slip through the cracks like that?
It's a state issue. So I actually passed the last two laws cracking down on sex offenders. The District Attorneys Association had a package of bills. It's called SORNA, Sex Offender Registration Notification Act, where we track down where they live, making sure they register. The problem is when they leave state and go to another state, you've got to depend on both states communicating with each other.
So okay, yeah, and that's what I was talking about with Debbie Williams from News 5. I guess this person was in Georgia and committed crime, served time. Then I guess the first time he came to Alabama, he was on the registry. Then he moves back to Georgia, and in that move, and this would have been in the night, it's not recent, but he got
comes
lost.
Off because he switches off, but he doesn't come back on when he comes back. Yeah, it's a notification process between Georgia and Alabama, which means you got to get some sort of compact between the two states. That is a real problem.
I mean, it seems like in the with the technological advances that are in our world, Senator, that there's some way we could use technology to help. I mean, I agree. You got to have one state help the other state and share information. We've talked about that in different issues, but it seems like through technology somehow you could track these people.
It's the nature of our federal structure. There are technologies that there's no doubt the technology is there. The problem comes in is Georgia willing to update its technology to coordinate with Alabama, or is Alabama willing to do the same thing? They're communicating, but there's no question technology is there. It's a matter of getting the various states to work together on it as far as sharing information.
Well, I bet you if you polled folks in all the different states, they'd be on board for their states helping out the other.
Yeah, there's no question. But again, it's a matter of, it's not the Georgia legislature, the Alabama legislature. It's both state governments coming together saying, hey, let's share this. And there's some compacts already in place that are starting to do that. But this is a good example why you need more of it.
Just joining us, talking to State Senator Cam Ward, announcing this morning his run for Alabama Supreme Court. On this prison side, there we go. We can probably agree that whether the prisons are crowded or not, people like this probably need to be in that prison.
Oh, no, there's no question. What you want to do on the prison issue, crowded or not, two things. One, public safety is first and foremost, and you don't want to let a mass release. But also what you really want to do is make sure there's more bed space for people like this guy. That's the people you want to make sure stay in prison as long as we can keep them there. But if the federal courts or Department of Justice take us over and we lose that ability, these are the kind of people that we've got to be first and foremost making sure they're not on the streets.
You know, and people who have not followed this, obviously like you have and working on this, maybe don't realize how big the gorilla in the room is, that if we end up getting into federal receivership like California did, can you lay out how that what it would look like?
Well, here's what I worry about. So, and this is not just a federal judge. This is also the Trump Justice Department has said, you better fix this. If you don't, what happens is they take the power away from your state legislatures. Your state policymakers lose all authority over it. And a receiver, usually a judge, sits around and dictates what you will and won't do. They can make you release a lot of people, which none of us want. They can make you spend a lot of money or even raise taxes, which none of us want. And that's what the fear is. So that's why you've got to solve this. And there's ways to get there, such as better mental health, better rehabilitation programs, and that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff you've got to work on so we don't let a lot of dangerous people out on the street.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I think it's something you had tweeted out over the weekend, or it was the reduction. We have had success. I mean, there's been reduction in the prison population in Alabama since this came to light, like you said, 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, you've had some. The problem you've got is you've just got to figure out, you know, who and why do I want them in there? And second, making sure that you're not letting a bunch of bad people. I passed the pardon and parole bill, that reformed pardon and parole, that said, look, if you're a murderer, rapist, child molester, human trafficker, then you got to serve at least 85% for your considered for parole. That was a bill the district attorneys and victims' rights advocates want. Because you want to make sure you got the right population in prison, and that's those people who are a threat to us, who could hurt us.
You know, before somebody even wastes their time with the text message, it may already have come in. I'll ask you the question that we get asked every time we're talking about this. Well, why don't you just release all the nonviolent drug offenders that are in Alabama prisons and open up space?
The latest report by the Alabama Sentencing Commission said 76% of everybody in our prison are either a Class A or Class B felon. And those are murderers, rapists, and child molesters. And none of us should want those people let out. What we should be about is, sure, if you need rehabilitation such as an addiction or mental health, we should try our best to provide those services. But we should also make sure if you're one of those top five most violent crimes, you shouldn't let those people out. That's not what the justice system's about. Justice should be fair, but it should also be tough.
Okay, so we got to raise the bridge and lower the water at the same time. So we're lowering the water on one end here with keeping people, diverting people that are nonviolent, not those top five, from getting in. How do we raise the bridge? How do we get more beds here?
Well, one, you'll have construction that'll do some, but construction is not the answer by itself. Construction handles some of the conditions that the courts have ruled we better fix. But at the same time, you need to look in the objective standard. Here's a good example. So a guy goes in for, say it was robbery of some sort. Should they go to prison? Yes, they should under the code. But what happens when they get their GED and then finally get a licensed education program, and that program says they can get a job in welding, carpentry, whatever? Shouldn't that be considered? Shouldn't that be part of the conversation? You go, well, if that person's doing all this, they're going to get a job when they get out. Maybe that should be part of the consideration as to whether or not they get parole. 95% of everybody in a prison in the United States today eventually comes out. What do you want them to look like? You want them to be rock bottom so that they commit the same crime again? They have no choice. They have no money, no income. Or would you like them to get a job, pay taxes, not be on the government welfare, and actually be a law-abiding citizen? That's what you want.
No, and I'm with you. And talking to folks in law enforcement that are on the front lines every day, I talked to some people that are, very, very strong on the victim's right side. They, too, will tell you still that it does no good to let somebody sit in prison and not get a skill set. Cam, can you hold on for a second?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. Coming right back from the news break, State Senator Cam Board announcing today he's running for the top judicial branch side of the state with the Alabama Supreme Court. Go from the legislative to the judicial. We'll talk about that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continuing our conversation with State Senator Cam Board, announcing today he's running for Place 1 Associate Justice with the Alabama Supreme Court. Senator, if people want to get more information on your campaign, where do they go?
Well, I will have a website up real soon, but right now you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or even if you want to know about my career in the Senate, you can go to my website at camward.com, and that'll tell you about the things I've done since I've been in the Senate. So,
I know you're right.
And easy too, my email address is cam@camward.com. I'm easy to find.
For sure. We'll put those links up. And one of the things that has made you a name that people down here know is this conversation we've been having for the last 6 years about prison reform in Alabama. And this is, people say, well, it's a cut and dry, black and white. This is not a simple subject. I've learned over the years, and there's a lot to this other than just building prisons. And you've pointed out in the past, too, that it's really not even the prisons that are the biggest cost for us as Alabamians. It's the staffing, right?
It's the staffing and health care. And here's the deal. First of all, public safety should be first and foremost. So what you want to avoid is a federal takeover that requires some sort of release of a bunch of nasty people in society. We don't want that. But if you don't comply with the federal court order, and Alabama has a long history of this, if you say, I'm just going to ignore the federal courts, I don't care what they say, they will force you into doing something that is not good for public safety, that requires us to spend a lot of money. And right now, they're saying we're in violation of the Eighth Amendment, so we've got to get that resolved.
Okay, so timelines are important in this, and we talked about this over the years, and I thought we were at a push-come-to-shove moment earlier this year, and then there was a talk of a special coming up this fall, special session to address this, and then that was taken away. And so where does it stand now? I mean, what's next?
I think realistically, if you talk to the Department of Justice, again, we're talking about President Trump's appointees, if we go and do something, maybe like a special session within the regular in February, I think we can get these issues resolved. We've been talking about what to do, but I think we can get there.
Okay. But that is going to be, this is the tough parts of it, and this is what y'all have to deal with up on Goat Hill, is let me just throw this at you. If I'm a House member, or I'm a senator, and there happens to be one of those present prisons in my district, I'm not real fired up about moving that out of my district. There's a lot of jobs associated with that.
Yeah, but you can't make the criminal justice system about jobs or money. The day that government is dictating your economic development or prosperity, that's a problem. Government should be out of the way. But you can't base your criminal justice system upon where the jobs are or putting money in the area. That sounds good in theory, but if your criminal justice becomes about economic development, you lost sight of what the system's supposed to look like.
No, I think in theory you're correct. I just have a feeling you'll have a fight on your hands.
Oh, no. No, I think make it on the construction side. And again, construction's about 10 to 15% of the problem, the solution. The idea there is the governor might do it without us, and she has that authority.
Yeah, explain to folks, we've mentioned this before on the show, but how would an executive branch solution, what would it look like?
So you have two solutions. You have one, the legislature passes a bill, you do a bond issue, then you hire a private company to build the prisons, and of course we run it. What she's looking at is the executive branch says, private company, build it, we'll lease it back from you and run it. The only difference is, do you lease or own it? Her way of doing it, you don't issue a bond issue. You don't go into debt. That's why she wants to do it that way.
So,
and it's quicker. The legislature's had three shots at it, and we seem to just can't get it done.
So the governor could say, okay, ABC Prison Building Company, you're going to build us these prisons, all right? And
they do a bid process and all that, right?
All right, and we sign on. We guarantee you we're going to we have a lease for the next 50 years or whatever the term is. I don't know. But we would sign a guarantee that we're going to be the tenant, right?
And then we would run and operate it just like any other prison.
But people say that's private prisons. It's not. It would be the ADOC people running it, correct?
Yes, that's correct. ADOC, it would not be private prisons, and I'm opposed to private prisons. That doesn't work. That's a bad system to run.
In complete agreement. So, because I heard somebody say, oh, it's a private prison. It's not. A private company builds a prison, ADOC staffs it. Then we get to the story about staffing, and we're talking about the money involved in this. And there have been some big stories over the last few years amount of overtime and things that were paid just to keep the prison system going.
Well, you cannot, first of all, you will never, ever do anything that says, oh, let's cut money. DOC will always consume money. Because we want public safety first and foremost, but you're going to have to pay those people more to work there, and you're going to have to hire more people to cover those jobs.
Well, that's one of the things about, and this is, I'm going through all the things I've learned over time, that just, because I said, hey, let's talk about Atmore here in our area. Why don't we just add on to it, this and that? And you're saying that using new technology in a prison build actually lets there be fewer Department of Corrections folks to guard the same number of people?
Well, yeah. Yeah, here's why. So, for example, you would think there should be a lot of cameras in every single prison in our state. Well, that's not the case right now. Why? Because the buildings are so old, the wiring won't handle the electronic monitoring you should have. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. If I had more cameras, it'd be easier to keep up with who's doing what. Second, electronic locks. We still use manual key locks in a lot of our prisons. No one in the country does that. Almost everyone has an electronic-type system. So, yeah, technology would help us keep not only prisons, but those on the outside of prisons, safer.
Okay, and because I'm looking at people asking, once again, why not tent camps? Why not doing it that way?
Well, here's two reasons why. One, you got to spend a whole lot more money on tent than you do what we do. And Arizona spends a lot more than we do. Why? Because then you got to hire a whole lot more officers to monitor it. Two, the health care costs go up, which you're mandated to do by the federal court and the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. And then also at the same time, it doesn't save you a lot of money because your primary cost in incarcerating somebody is the mandatory health care, which the feds require, and the mandatory, you got to watch them. And so the tents just don't save you a lot of money.
Now, you mentioned this a couple of times. This is part of this bigger. It's not just beds, like you said. It's not just keeping, redirecting people, keeping them out of prisons. But it is this healthcare thing. What is there a federal minimum that we're missing? What do you have? What does Alabama?
They have.
What do we have to give?
The federal courts over the years have ruled this. You have a mandatory minimum amount of care that you have to provide. For example, our population is getting older, so guess what? You have more dialysis, kidney failure. You have to provide that. And now it sounds good and feels good to everybody to say, I'm just not going to provide that to anybody. Who cares? They're in prison. Federal court care, and they'll rule against you and say this: if you don't do this, we're going to come in and do it for you, and we're going to make you pay for it. So that's why you have to be very careful. And another thing with the tents in Arizona, and Arizona lawmakers will tell you this, the amount of money they spent on lawsuits that they lost there is in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, wow. We definitely don't have money for that.
Hey, Sean. Sean, yes. not to skip subjects here, but going back to something you asked me about earlier about the sex offender case that you're really concerned about.
Yeah.
Well, someone was just texting me about this in state government and said that we actually, under our sex offender laws, we're required to not only, the sex offenders required to register in both states when they come in and out, and that we should be telling each other when somebody's moving there. But it sounds like to me there's been a let down somewhere in state government not making that happen.
Yeah, and talking to Debbie Williams with News 5 earlier, I think in her discussions with folks in Baldwin County, that today, you know, if it happens, that system's in place, but there's this backlog. There were people that made these moves before the new changes were in, and I don't know how many of them there are. Senator, yeah, that's the scary thing.
I think when I passed this act, maybe 2014, it was 2014 or maybe even 2015. I think 2014 we passed. But yeah, there's also a national sex offender registry.
But
so it should be, but before the law was passed, that may be where the gap's coming in that needs to be addressed.
And if people didn't catch it earlier, you're saying that this legislation you passed in 2014 has, and it had an acronym that had tightened that up.
SORNA, they call it.
But at the core of this, it does go down to one state notifying the other state. I mean, at the basis, one state, somebody in Alabama has to pick up the phone.
Your state law enforcement agency is supposed to notify the other state and that other state's supposed to notify you. That's in the law, but it looks like here that was not followed.
I mean, so it would be, okay, sex offender leaves Alabama, going to Georgia. Alabama calls Georgia, say, hey, this person's coming, and then that person has to get to Georgia and check in. And yep. Georgia calls back and says, yeah, we got them. They're on our registry. What happens if that person never shows up in Georgia?
There's the gap. Because you're assuming I'm notifying Georgia, Georgia's notifying me. Let's say they go to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Unless you have some sort of tracking device or something, where they're going and who's going to track them, you wouldn't know that. It's a real problem. It's a real problem.
It's something that I would be frank with you, I was ignorant of and not even aware of until this story hit right here at home.
Unless you do this, I mean, kind of this legislative work all the time, you're depending on not only your government, but also another state's government to correspond with you. And as you know, oftentimes they don't do that with each other. Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, our neighboring states, maybe. But imagine if a sex offender moves from here to Colorado and then moves back here from Colorado, or stops over in Wyoming. Now you got to assume that all 50 states are talking with each other, and that's not always the case.
Wow. Wow. Well, hopefully this will be, we'll get
there
some...
There is a national registry. I think the way to improve this is, I think the way to improve this is better dialogue and a more national-oriented discussion among law enforcement agencies. Because someone, you know, here's a good example. They commit another felony or something, and all of a sudden, they just flee and run away, and they go eight states away. There's no, you don't know where they're at. They may have gone back to Alabama, or they may have gone to Virginia, but you have no way of tracking that person. They're not going to show, you know, that person's never going to show up and register your state.
Right.
And if Georgia doesn't know or Alabama doesn't know, how would you know where they were going?
And like you said, if they move three different states in that process, I mean, there's so many chances for somebody to fall between the cracks, like we're looking
at
here.
Nine times out of ten, that offender just got in a car and drove off. And they drove until they stopped somewhere, and you know they're not telling anybody, and neither Georgia or Alabama would know it. So you got to figure out how, not only communication, but there's certain instances, too, like this, where it's going to be hard to track them.
Y'all put that on your stack for session this year.
Yes, sir.
Once again, State Senator Cam Ward joining us announcement today. Tell folks once again the office you're running for and why they should vote for you.
Alabama Supreme Court Justice, place one. And again, simple judicial philosophy. I think the legislature should write the law, but I think the court should interpret it, and it shouldn't be the other way around. I've always felt that way, and I feel like I can add a lot to the work the Supreme Court does in that area.
As always, I appreciate our conversations, and come join us again. Maybe you're out in the state campaigning statewide. You come by and see us in person.
Well, we'll talk again for the next session as well. But thank you for having me on, Sean.
Thank you. State Senator Cam Ward joining us right here on Midday Mobile. Grab some of your calls and texts when we get back at 343-0106. Plus, Todd Stacey joins us coming up after 1 o'clock.